Hello, hello. That last song was Cultivator with Waiting Paths. And now you have to wait no longer, for here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, I am joined by the Infinite Wet Secret. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hey,
what's up, everybody?
Woo-woo. would you guys like to say your name, your instrument, social security number, mother's maiden name?
Of course.
Credit card number, and a couple little numbers
name
on the back.
Name your first pet.
Yeah, yeah. Street you grew up on. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Patrick. I am the guitarist and the singer.
What's your credit card number?
Yeah. Which street did you grow up on?
0000001 0000001111.
My name's Sam. I'm the bassist. From Arizona. I grew up on a street called Amberwood. Last four digits of my credit card are 9498.
Solid.
Write that down.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm Steve. I play the drums, and I am an all-around cool guy.
That's true.
Undeniable. Undeniable.
Although I'm pretty hot right now. It's pretty sweaty in here.
You are.
It is. It is. It's tough being in an attic.
Yeah.
You know, it really, the heat
attic
rises
life.
And yeah.
I feel at home here. You know, I live in an attic. So.
Attic dweller?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to live in an attic. I had a really good AC unit though, and that just made a huge difference. But AC units, those are good. A little bit loud.
Yeah.
That's
worth
kept,
it though.
Yeah.
Worth
kept me it. From dying lately.
Yeah.
I just roughed it with a box fan last year. I really don't know
life.
How I did it.
Gotta love a good Lasco.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, you know, like the box fan.
The box fan.
Not that I'm sponsored by Lasco or anything.
But also hit them up. You know, give them a fan.
I mean, hey,
if
you guys
want
to sponsor me, I'm a fan, yeah.
That's
one product that kind of blows. So you guys released an album last week.
We did.
Congrats. Oh, that's your second album of the year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second album in 2 months.
Awesome. Wow.
that's
serious. Yeah. When did you guys form?
A year and a half ago?
Yeah, something like that. It was 2022. It was like the end of 2022.
Okay. There you go.
I just remember like, I forget the exact timeline, but there was like a show that you played, Steve, and then you were like, hey, if you are looking for a drummer for anything in the future. And I was like, actually.
That's why I'm here.
And then we met up and started working on some stuff. And then I was like, well, we need a bass player. And I asked around and everyone told me talk to Sam. So
here
I talked to Sam.
Now Sam's here too.
Now we're all here.
In the attic.
Yeah,
warm attic with the AC.
It's been a pretty slow build overall.
Yeah.
And then now I feel like we've kind of like run out of the gate and there's just like so much happening.
Our goal is 3 albums this year, so we're almost there.
Yeah.
that's ambitious, but you know, I really like what you guys have it is hot. It's getting to me. I really enjoyed what you guys have put out so far.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We certainly have a good time, you know, putting the record together and everything. It's just it's a really fun process. You know, I've known Pat for a fair number of years, you know, kind of from an arm's length away. Name of our first record. And then we've just kind of been talking about it for a while, and it's nice to see it all come to fruition.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Some of these songs are pretty old at this point too. So I'm like, yeah, they're out of the backlog.
Like, excellent.
I think one of the ones was written in like 2018. Yeah.
So Pat, are these your songs?
Mostly. In that, like, I'll come through with the structure and I'm the one who will be like, this is what we're doing today. But I've had the enormous pleasure of having a band that I can just be like, give me like a beep boop bop on that, Steve. And I'll be like, here's a line, Sam. And like, he'll like adapt it in his own way. And Steve will be like, stop giving me beep boops. Like, tell me what you actually need to hear. I'll be like, all right, like, hit the snare. Like,
yeah, you're really good at like bringing a vibe or an intention to the space, and I feel like we've all gotten to know each other and gotten so comfortable with each other so well that it just kind of, not necessarily writes itself because it's work, but you know, the gears just turn and it tends to like work itself out.
Yeah. Are there any songs on the most recent album that really fit that process well, or you know, more than the others?
I mean, like on the B side of the record, which is like the last like 7 songs, if it were to be on vinyl or something, like most of them we learned like a week before recording. I was just like, well, we had like a recording session like set aside And yeah.
Yeah, I think we just sort of put them together and practice them over
very quickly.
Over, yeah. over again. And then there's said, okay, this is what we're recording. Yeah. And kind of brought that into the studio with us. And it was interesting to see how they came out, because even when we were recording, they'd come out different sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, especially Save the Children comes to mind, because it's, you know, fairly long, 4 or 5 minutes, pretty fast, at least for me on my left hand. And we, like, I think we learned it maybe a week and a half before we went into the studio. And it's kind of cool to see what comes up, how many pieces of the puzzle we can put together.
Yeah, and the bridges, or like whatever that section would be called, like, is improvised. So that would come out differently in different takes. So like we'll have like small sections of improv in a lot of these, so that they'll sound different every time. But like for some of the takes, I'd be like really like shredding in a way, and I'd be like, yeah, this sounds great. And then we'd be like, oh wait, we like fumbled something. Like, we're gonna start again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well. Too bad, because I was determined to use the live takes for the instrumentals at least.
Yeah, that was when we recorded both of the albums almost 100% live, like in a room together. So it's a lot of silent looking at each other, or like tempo changes. I'll like move my hand in the air so you like we can see it, but you can't, like, we're not clicking or anything like that. But yeah, it's a lot of silent communication.
Yeah, no, it's listening to this album, I kind of got the impression that you guys approach your music with a lot of intention. Like, it seems like there's not really much out of place on this album, which is a really cool thing to see in an album, or hear, rather. But for anyone listening who hasn't heard you guys, I think that I'd like to play the first song on one of the Outer Circles, Mild Driving Peyote. How's that sound to you guys?
Sounds perfect.
Sounds fine to me.
Cool. We'll be back in a few. All right, that was just Mild Driving Peyote by The Infinite Wet Secret. And now we're back and the AC is turning off, I think. Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
Silent. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
The sound of silence.
Mm-hmm. See, it really makes a big difference when you're in the head. Anyway, listening back, I've been doing so much noise removal from my interviews and podcasts. It's just been like, I was like, this needs to go off. We'll suffer through. Saves me a lot of headache on the back end. But anyway, Mild Driving Peyote, really cool song, awesome Western surf rock vibes. And do you want to start with where you got that name?
Yeah, the name came from a friend of mine, Brian Walsh. He was my drummer in my other Boston band previously, RIP, Golf Weapons. I'll check them out if you feel like it. And there was one day where he was basically like rolling a spliff, and I was just like, what's that you're putting in there? And he was like, oh, a little Mild Driving Peyote. And then we like went for a little drive, but that so shout out there. And and I thought that would make a good name for a song and do some sort of like spaghetti western surf thing. And that's what came out. And that band actually started to learn that song, and then the pandemic and like lockdown and all that cut that short. But I was really glad to be able to bring it back out and teach this group, because I feel like we could like really go crazy on it, and I'd say we did.
Agreed.
Yeah, I thought it worked out.
Great album opener.
Yeah, I really like playing this in the set, like having all this other stuff go on and then suddenly just have like a couple of like surf instrumentals stuff like that.
And yeah, so when I first heard that on the album, I was like, wow, that I'm really excited to see you guys play live again soon, because that's gonna be really fun in the pit.
That's what we want
to
hear.
Oh my god. Seeing people like actually form a pit to some of this has been really interesting. Like look, listen, learn. Like people will mosh during that. Like that's
jazzy number.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like it's just like ding 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 ding, and people are just like punching each other.
Yeah, there's a couple of songs when we were learning. Like I spent a lot of years in like the metal and hardcore crowd, which is such a different scene, and we were learning the songs, and I was like, I don't know if people are gonna like this. This is kind of not usually what they go for, and those are always the songs that people just go crazy for every time, which is a nice surprise.
Mm-mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really nice to see all the people go crazy for all the different kinds of songs. Like even if you go back to our album from, you know, last album from 2 months ago,
all the way back,
a lot. It just sounds quite a bit different, and it's interesting to get up there and play all this kind of different stuff and see the same people react to it so differently, or the same depending on the person.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, and so while we're on the topic while we're on surf rock, you mentioned another Boston local band who's kind of in that genre.
Yeah, but shout out to Beware the Dangers of a Ghost Scorpion. They've been holding it down for, you know, well over a decade. So it's nice to, you know, do something with a little homage to them, even if it wasn't on purpose. But
if y'all are listening, we would love to play a show with you.
Yeah, let's get it.
Yeah. I saw them play with Children of the Flaming Wheel and also Pink Lids a while back. So I also want to give a shout out to those two bands. Really good. Really good bands.
Very cool. And you guys have been in a bunch of bands. What bands are you in currently? What projects might people know you from? What projects might people not know you from? But maybe they should. Maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
I can't.
Probably
got
a laundry list.
I have a short list.
Yeah. But lately I've been adding to the roster. Recently I joined to fill in on bass for a gig for the Manglers. Down in JP, but aside from that, I'm also in a duo called Bait and Switch with Cody Switch. You should check out their album wherever you get your music, Straight for Pay. And also, I drum for Jules Dacey. We're playing this Friday. It's a record release. We'll be at Spontaneous Celebrations in JP with Cuxine. So come on by. And what else? I just talked about, there's one more group. Oh, and I have a solo act that I'll bring out like maybe like once a year called Hired Thoughts, where I just play like bass and drum machine and I like tell stories. And cool. I think that's everything right now for me.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I don't really have anything going on, so I'll keep it short. I also played bass for the Manglers for a second. Shout out to the Manglers.
That's kind of how I know you, to be honest.
There you go. We had the same job.
Yeah.
And I am in a band called Dead Trains. We've been kicking around Boston for about 10 years or so. Shout out to Matt and Natan. They're the best. And then before that, where people probably don't know me from, is I played metal guitar for years in a band called Lost to the Waves. So that was kind of like a past life kind of thing. But been kicking around for too long.
Yeah. Oh, even shout out for past bands. I was in Golf Weapons, Donnie and the Baby Hands. That was in college. It was like a cover band with like a guy in his 50s. what was the other one? Yes, But No, But Yes. That was my first. R.I.P. Drumming and singing.
Good names all around.
Yeah. Shout out to Tomas Bensadon. That was the guitarist in that. We were a duo.
Fantastic. And while we're talking about names, where did you get One of the Outer Circles? I mean, obviously referring to hell, but
it's a line in one of the songs. I like to take a line from one of the songs to use as the album title, as kind of like a hidden thing. Like once, I don't know, that line starts to stand out in a new way where like I hear it as like, forgetting this is One of the Outer Circles. And you're like,
said the thing.
Yeah. And I mean, that one was from like, I mean, quite literally, there was a large stretch of 2023 where I really genuinely wondered if this is hell. And like, I would get up in the morning and I'd be like, come on, Patrick, like, it isn't. And then I'd be like, but maybe it is. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd seen a lot of The Good Place and I had had a lot of things that were just like, such like near misses constantly, you know? I was like, maybe it really is hell. But it's like a really like subtle version where like all you get is like constant frustration versus like getting like flayed by a demon, you know? Like,
well, I'd like to think of the whole record as kind of like a statement of how modern day America is. And I feel like more lately than ever, at least in my experience, it feels like hell for a lot of different reasons, you know?
Ooh, yeah. And even being like I spent like most of the pandemic as a remote worker up until this year. But that was also sort of like one of the outer circles. Like I saw people who were like really going through some nasty things. And then like I would just be like sitting indoors, like typing away and just kind of be like, oop, like there's my paycheck, like time to go have a snack. And I'm like, well, this isn't like that bad, but I don't feel good about it. So
yeah. Purgatory. Like,
yeah.
It's an outer circle, right? Like you're not
in it.
You're around it. It's affecting you.
Yeah. I was trying to find a way to really like translate that. Cause like, I'm not saying that like, you know, this is like the worst and that I've like suffered the most horrible thing, but I'm like, it's not a good time. And I feel like a lot of people could relate to that of being like, you know, it's like just comfortable enough. Like just enough that you'll keep tolerating it, maybe.
Kind of like the frog in boiling water, it sounds like.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a good point.
that's how it felt. I quit my job at the start of the year, so I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
To changes for the better. And, you know, when I was thinking about Outer Circle, I obviously made me think of Dante's Inferno. Do you guys have any favorite circles of hell?
I then had to read about the different circles of hell after like declaring that within the song. And like, honestly, based on all of that, like I will say, so like some of the outer circles are really funny. Like there's one where I think you just get like chased around by some guy, like between a bunch of rocks, and like, that's it. It's just like really misty and you always trip.
And very like, stress and anxiety it. Inducing.
Yeah.
But the most interesting one is the innermost circle of hell in Dante's Inferno. they want in on anywhere they can get their dirty little paws. But yeah, for Dante's Inferno, the inner circle of hell is frozen. It's a lake of ice. That's crazy to me. Like, it's not hot at all. It's just frozen. And then it's like Satan or someone. He's like frozen in there and he's just like bored. And he's like, hey.
Wasn't there one?
When'd you get here?
one circle of hell where they're like getting constantly blown around by wind.
Yeah.
Like getting buffeted by wind.
That might be the one I was thinking of. It's just like big wind.
Like you can't sleep or whatever. It's. I think it might be the outermost. That kind of applies here, right? Yeah. Like you're just getting constantly buffeted by things that you can't ignore. You can't truly relax. You can't really deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of an outer circle of hell.
Yeah. For like lawful pagans or something, you know. try to be nice to people. Try to be cool. So, you know, if like Catholicism is real, then like, well, I guess I'll be buffeted by
some
wind. Yeah. Then maybe there's some other stuff I've done that they wouldn't like.
Maybe.
Who's to say, really? Let's see. So, another song on the album that I wanted to ask you about specifically was Curtain, because the vocals in there were so interesting. I listened to it and I was like, oh, that was really cool. I wonder who the guest singer was. And I listened again. I was like, no, that's definitely Pat.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah. So, what was the inspiration behind that vocal style? And if you want to reveal your magic on air, you can talk about it, but you don't have to if you don't want to.
I felt like doing a song in falsetto, and that one, I don't think I had a vocal melody written for it, and then I would like sing in unison with it, and it was really deep, which I wouldn't be able to hear. So I was then like, all right, well, what if I do the higher version? So I started doing it in that falsetto, but then specifically, I think it's really interesting that you call out that take, because that was the final vocal overdub of the album. Like, we did the whole thing within like
2.5 days.
Yeah, pretty much. We had like 4 days and like two, like, you know, a half day on each end, but it was like pull up, set everything up, 1 day of recording, rest, day two of recording, and then that night, like, overnight, I did the vocal dubs.
We both got sick during recording.
My God. I was out and for a month.
Yeah. After the second day of recording, we were all like, okay, we need a break. We went bowling and got pizza and hung out and then came back. And Pat just like totally marathoned through it every vocal take on the album until like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
That true hero.
It was till like 5 or so. It was like 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. And like there was a storm going on outside. So like a lot of the room sound, like you'll hear kind of like wind buffeting in the whole record, and that's just like the sound of the vocal overdubs, because I just like left the microphone set up where we were for the drums, and I just like stood in front of it and was like, all right, this is gonna be the room tone. And and that one for Curtain, I was like celebrating finishing the vocal takes that we had, and I like went outside at like, you know, 4 a.m. and I like smoked a little spliff. And I was like, I won't have to sing anymore. Like, this is great. Like, I can do this now. And I was like, time to wind down. And then I went back and I was listening through the takes. And I realized that I overdubbed the wrong take of Curtain. I was like, our instrumental is like pretty rough in this. Like, I don't remember that. And then I listened to one of the takes that I like was ready to discard. And I was like, oh, that's the real one. So I was like, all right, we're going to have to do this right here, right now. Like, you can even hear me, like, smack my lips at the beginning. I decided to keep that in. Or I'm just like, and then I'm like, do you think that? And I wanted it to sound like there was maybe, like, another singer or something. I want not only, like, chameleon-ness of, like, you know, the instrumentals, but lately I've been like, all right, like, let's try to mix up the vocal a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pat also did just like a absolutely phenomenal job, like capturing the room sound. We were recording this beautiful, beautiful farmhouse on Martha's Vineyard that we kind of stumbled into, luckily. And that effect that they were talking about of the storm and the rain and the wind just like becoming a part of the record, just like encapsulated, just really making it sound like the room and having it be one cohesive piece. It was really, really satisfying to hear.
Yeah, like the drums were mostly recorded on like one microphone in the room, which I really wish I mic'd the kick drum at this point. But you know, for having like engineered the record ourselves and like gone through and like mixed it, and then like we sent out the mastering to Will Killingsworth at Dead Air. Big shout out to him. He's done both of the records, and yeah, it's nice being able to have it be like kind of self-contained. In our own way, we can just be like, all right, this is the sound we're going for, there it is, next.
Speaking of like recording the drums that way, I don't remember where in our, you know, relationship this was, but I was reading John Bonham's biography and they were talking about when they were recording at Headley Grange, Jimmy Page and him came to the realization, they're like, drums are an acoustic instrument. Like, you need to let them breathe. Everyone's close miking these drums and they sound like they're choked. And I remember bringing that up to Pat and Pat was just like, my dude, exactly. That's what I want to do.
That was early on.
Yeah, that was really early on. And then we finally got the opportunity because we recorded the first album in our 10-foot by 10-foot practice space. So not a lot of room to breathe. But then this last one, we actually had room to set up and like set up camp for 5 days and not work between other bands. And it was just really nice to see such a brilliant finished product. If you ask me, I think it sounds great.
Yeah. It was insane being able to have like actual downtime, you know, like being able to like lay down between takes or something. Like,
there's a big beanbag chair in the room, so that helps.
Yeah.
Sure, you get your best thinking done.
Huge shout out to the foundation.
Yeah. Slough Farm rules. Julie Olson rules. It's my sister.
Shout out to Julie. Thank you, Julie, so much. Seriously.
What were you going to say, Sam?
Oh, I was going to say on the first album, I was in a corner because we were in that 10 by 10
just
room.
Like sitting in a corner.
Yeah, like a roly-poly trying to like my knees behind my head trying to play bass and not get it wrong. Yeah.
Three instruments live at once in a 10 by 10 room.
Yeah,
you're a wizard, Pat. You're a wizard.
Yeah, and on that one, in the first record, I put a delay on the vocal just as an effect, but I realized that it ended up being like kind of a room mic for the drums. So like the reason that the drums have that sound is like that's just live. So like on the first record everything is live except for Billy Dreams, which I redubbed the vocal. But yeah, it was nice to be able to like break it out in the most recent one and actually like just do like, all right, we're gonna do the instrumental all the way through and then we're gonna dub it later, and like I didn't have to worry too hard about it. Yeah, I like to do it all at once if you can, you know,
for sure. And with that, Curtain's a pretty short one. Let's listen to that.
Sure.
And we'll be back in a minute and a half. And the next song in the album is a really fun name too. It's a funeral song for the former holiday Thanksgiving. Do you want to get into that a little bit? I mean, Yeah.
there's a lot that went into that one, but it was written pretty much in like one pass. And then we did like two takes on the recording and we went with the first, and that's what made it on the record. But this song, being an instrumental, I don't know. I don't like Thanksgiving. I think it's a bad holiday at this point. Like, I've lived in Massachusetts all my life. You know, I've had the turkey. I've seen the turkeys. I've seen Plymouth Rock. Like, apparently, I can, like, go back to Mayflower in like ancestry, stuff like that. So I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to do like Daughters of the American Revolution or something and be like, we're the best. Like, no. Terrible holiday. Celebrates a genocide. And we just ignore it every year. And like, I really think that, you know, I'll trade you like 4 good feast days spread throughout the year where you can like really party, have some good food, like instead of being like forced to be around like relatives, especially if they are like relatives you don't like.
Also, turkey's just not that good. There, yeah. I said it.
Yeah,
and like, I'll take it to my grave with me.
The worst of the cooked birds.
I'll say shout out to my parents though, and all this. I'm cool with them. They're great, June and Joe.
I feel like Thanksgiving just has so much baggage going along with it. Like, mm-hmm. if you can find a Thanksgiving in which you can just eat a lot and fall asleep, it's wonderful. But there's so much other stuff you have to deal with.
Also, the fact that it like bleeds into Black Friday, which is like the most like capitalistic American.
I mean. That's dumpster not a holiday. Fire. Don't get me started on Black Friday.
Yeah.
It goes earlier every year, later. I mean, I guess COVID kind of turned back the clock then. A little bit, but that, you know, it's coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, one of like 2 days where we get to be like, see, celebrate everybody. You worked so hard this year. Oh, we're going to give you a big one day. And it's always like a random Thursday, and then you'll have to like go into work that Friday or something, and then they're like, snap, 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 like.
Because it's Black Friday, mm-hmm. and you have to, you know, yep. support the shopping.
The retail stuff.
We all do it in our own way.
I used to work at the Newbury Comics Warehouse for a number of years, and we famously only got that Thursday off, so like the whole warehouse just like couldn't go home, and then you had to be there at like 6, 7 a.m. the next Friday, and that started mandatory 6-day work weeks for the next couple months, so Thanksgiving isn't ever anything I've been pumped about. Just means more work.
Yeah, it just feels kind of cursed to me at this point. Like, I really think, like,
there's other things we could celebrate, yeah, that like, are more worthy.
Yeah, like, I'm a vegetarian too at this point. Like, I, you know, I see turkeys on the street all the time at this point. Like, they can have the streets back. Yeah. Like, we don't need new, like, you know, the 5-tier, like, condo, whatever.
Get the turkeys condos.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like the Boston turkeys on the roads. It's a nice feature.
They're lively.
Yeah,
they are very lively. Sometimes they just make you slow down.
Appreciate. Yeah. Take and smell the roses.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had to describe the Infinite Wet Secret in one word, what word would you choose?
I'd say jostled.
Ooh.
Mm.
Jostled.
Do I have to explain or can I just say it?
Up to you.
Okay, jostled. Period.
Oh, I don't even know. I'm the wordiest one everybody. So that's I'm like, do you want like a dissertation? Just one word.
I like amorphous.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff changes from, you know, album to album, from show to show, from the time that we play it, we practice it, and each time, I think one of the things I've really loved about playing is the amount of is there a noun to say amorphous? I'm not sure what that word is.
Morphicity?
But yeah, that's the word I should use. But just being like the novelty of playing different genres. Do we have a genre? It changes from day to day, yeah. And just having that newness every day is really wonderful and fun. So
yeah, I really enjoy kind of like stumbling on the question whenever people are like, so what's the music like, what kind of band is it, and I'm like,
pick a song, I'll tell you.
When we get, every time we play a show, someone says, you sound like
someone else.
It's always different, and it's always fun to hear and see, like,
yeah, some are like really like weird takes. They'll be like, it's not like really this band, but like a little bit of that. Like, we got once like a cross between the B-52s and Suicidal Tendencies. Mm-hmm. We've heard Mr. Bungle.
Shout out Mr. Bungle.
Like the Minutemen.
A lot of Minutemen.
But on acid.
None of it's wrong. It's just depends on what you heard and how and when.
I challenge someone out there, like, come up with a name for what?
Yeah, tell us what to say when people ask us. Yeah,
tell us what genre the band plays in.
What's your word though?
What's my word? I just want to say wet, but everything.
Yeah, I mean, we did kind of decide on that band name because we thought it was almost, you know, a description of what we wanted to bring. Because at that point, we were like really, you know, we had a couple songs laid out, but the thought wasn't complete yet. And Pat and I had a lot of exchanges with what we wanted the project to be, what we could highlight, you know, what feelings it could bring out, and really what we wanted to do coming from, you know, such three diverse musical backgrounds and interests. And that just seemed to fit. And
yeah, and I'll give a shout out to Cody Switch for the name. We were having a discussion, and Cody like threw something out really randomly that was like a throwaway name that was like, It was like a front person's name of like Adrian Sparkle in The Infinite Wet Secret. And I was like, the second bit. Mm. I think that's it. It sounds like an institution in a way. Like, there's no, like, I'm a linguist by training. Like, so I'm just like, I don't want it to like conjure anything. Mm. So I feel like there's so much that you could pull out of it. And in that way, The Infinite Wet Secret.
Yeah, you brought that name to practice, and we had been trying to think of a name for like literally weeks, and we're just like, nope, nope, nope. And you said that, and I remember Sam and I both just went, ugh, no. And then we came back the next practice, and I was like, it's all I've been able to think about. That's it. I think we got to do it. Like, for better or worse, like, if you see us and you think we're the worst thing you've ever heard, or you love it, you're going to remember the name.
Yeah, you are.
And that's proven to be pretty true.
Yeah, no, it definitely is one of those sticky names.
Wet.
Yeah, definitely wet. A bit wet. Like, yeah. You kind of like threw it at the wall and it definitely stuck there.
A little different than the usual like noun, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like most groups will have like two nouns. Like, sometimes I'll be like, wait, is this the name of the band, or is it like, are you parodying me right now? You know, like,
a lot of promoters seem to not be able to get the grasp. We've been billed as like The Infinite Wet, or just like Wet Secret, and we're just like, yeah, sure, why not?
It works. Yeah, Infinite Wet's also a good band name.
Yeah, we get lots of misspellings. Like, some people would also like say a completely different name. Like, they would just be like, oh, I have something that's a very sexual name, and I'm like, what?
No. Rain, like, is also wet.
Where do we mention that? Like,
just sounds like you got a gutter mind.
We've gotten some spicy introductions. They'll be like, well, what's the name of the band again? The Infinite Wet Secret. And they'll be like, oh, secret. Okay.
Speaking of gigs, what's your favorite gig that you guys have played as The Infinite Wet Secret?
Ooh.
Good question.
I really liked Brown Jug Liquor.
That's what I was going to say, too.
That was really fun. That was in Meriden, Connecticut. And we got invited to play. Big shout out to the band Webs through there. They were our connection.
New Haven.
And speaking of Connecticut and like sort of the New Haven scene more broadly, we're going to be there this Saturday. We're going to be playing 10 Selden in Woodbridge, Connecticut with Webs and American Amnesia. So if you good listeners of WMFO are in New Haven, or you feel like traveling, head on down there. It's going to be a great time.
Fantastic. And do you have any other localer gigs coming up?
We're waiting on the final word for this, but we will be playing Pissmas as hosted by the Pelvic Floor. And if you want to know more about that, you're going to have to like talk to me in person or something.
Or ask some weirdo in Alston. They'll probably know.
Yeah. Ask a punk. I think that's our next local show coming up.
Yeah.
And if anyone's, you know, if you're out booking for national touring acts or something, or you're just like a smaller group with a basement and you're looking for somebody to fill out a bill, reach out.
I guess just to go back to the question for a second, that show at Brown Jug Liquor was called Whatever Fest, and it was just in this old warehouse space, and a lot of it was just completely open. It was on the second floor, and they just had huge open bay doors that just went out to nothing.
Yeah, like, open to the air.
Open to the air, like, middle very dangerous. And it was just, you know, the epitome of DIY, and I remember going down there on like a Friday. And then we got asked to open when we got there, and we're the only out-of-town band, and, you know, we're all a little curmudgeonly about it, and we're like, screw it, they're gonna make us play first, like, we're gonna play our hearts out. And it was just like one of the best sets, and people went crazy, and we ended up making so many friends that show.
Yeah,
it was just one of those things that I don't know, never really expected, and then like we've fallen into the New Haven scene and made so many friends from there, and it's been a true delight.
Yeah. And it was really funny having some people who showed up during the last song we closed with Whom Do You Visit Chopping Malls, and someone was like, man, like I really like the version of The River that you played by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And I was like, you play one song in 5/4,
like, get it. People are like, yeah. Or people are like, oh, take five. You're like, yeah, but he didn't invent 5 count. But sure. Or maybe Brubeck did. I don't think so.
Shadow King Gizzard, new song dropped yesterday?
Yeah.
New album's good. Coming out on my birthday. That's exciting.
They're crazy.
When's your birthday?
It is the 9th of August.
9th of August. So we're talking Leo right here?
Yep.
Leo. On the 19th. So
nice.
Just add the one on the end.
There you go.
That's how you get there.
Yeah. Love it.
I will say on air, I am a Gemini.
Classic. It's just what you say anytime anyone says their sign.
I'll read your chart. I'm an astrologer. I'm really good. I'm not kidding.
One of my other questions that I like to ask is, do you have any good party tricks? That's a good party trick.
But yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other party? And do any of you guys have party tricks?
I can lick my elbow as well, which is the perfect party trick for radio.
I used to be pretty good at drinking. Not so much anymore.
I don't know.
No?
Yeah. No party tricks. Uh-huh. I don't know.
People are like unusually impressed that I can open a bottle with a lighter, and I'm like, you should be able to do that too.
It's an important skill.
You should need to do that. Yeah. Fulcrum. It's fulcrum.
Yeah. My bottle opener of choice lately has been a jar of peanut butter.
Nice.
When I'm at home. Nice. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Are you a crunchy or a smooth guy?
Crunchy.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Gotta
crunch. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. It's important. You also seem like some funny people. So do you have any good jokes?
Steve.
yeah, get Steven on this.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do in band practice is just say the most like deadpan stupid joke and wait for Sam to respond and say I hate you, but then start viciously laughing at the end. So like that's like
can't
one
help
of my favorite
laugh,
things.
But it's very aggravating.
One of my favorites is why don't birds wear underpants?
Why?
Because they're peckers on their face.
Jesus Christ.
Get out of here. It's so good. It never gets old, yeah.
If anyone else is trying to drum for this band, we're holding auditions very soon.
Yeah.
Do better jokes.
Have you been to the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere.
Oh my God.
I heard.
See, that's what I go for. I love it so much.
Did you hear about the new cemetery that they're opening up in Alston?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's, apparently it's so popular, people are dying to get in.
Oh!
But you're already at the drum set. Do you ever throw in like a ba-dum-tsh?
I do
good,
a lot.
Good.
That's what I bring to the table.
That's actually why he picked up drums.
Yeah.
All right, I got the rim shot down. What's coming up next?
What? Yeah, I need like a wonga horn or something.
that is a good. Wow. That's a sound effect.
That was my joke taking off.
Joke wanted to get out.
Yeah, or maybe they heard your joke and they're just trying to like
get out of here. Yeah.
Outside of music, what are some of your creative outlets? Or is it just more music?
Like, I do art as well. What else do I do? It all kind of blends together because, like, I don't know. I try to have some visual art to go with. You know, like the music, like I did the cover for one of the Outer Circles. That's like a like little sculpture I like built in my living room.
And the art for both the singles too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Did the singles, stuff like that. I don't know. I try to help put on concerts as well.
You're a very talented sound engineer.
I recognize your jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Easter eggs in there. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many Easter eggs. Like, there's a ton of stuff down at the front. There's like a little altar, and like everything was very meaningfully placed in this photo.
very cool. I like the art too. Is that you?
Yeah, yeah. So those are some of my paintings.
Very cool. Yeah. I hadn't noticed that it was a photo at first. And then cool. I was like, that. Now that you mention it.
Hey, that's good. That's good for me. Like, yeah. I just took that on my phone.
Yeah, I think the only cover you didn't do is for the first record, which our friend, dear friend Rachel Higgins did. At one of our first, I think our
huge
first
shout out.
And only photo shoot as a band.
Yeah. Hmm. We'll have to do another one then.
We should.
Yeah.
A lot of fun props in that one.
Some good ones.
Yeah, we did that out in Framingham, which like I grew up in that area, so that was kind of cool to go back out to.
What about you, Sam? What do you do?
Oh, I'm super boring. I like garden and go to Costco, which is an art in and of itself.
Costco? What? Do you ever garden at Costco?
No. I wish. I have like a dozen banana trees.
Wow.
And they just make more of themselves if you water them. They're like the easiest plant to raise, but...
So do you have like a monopoly on the Boston banana market?
No. If they make bananas, they'll die immediately.
That's
so
pretty metal.
The thing with banana trees is if you want them... Like Boston is kind of perfect because they never get enough sun to actually make bananas, but they get enough sun that they can actually grow. So you put them outside in the summertime and then you bring them in the wintertime. And then my house just looks like the palm tree jungle.
They say make bananas, make lemonade.
Banana lemonade.
If you ever come with some homegrown bananas, I'll offer my condolences for your trees.
For your trees, yeah.
Where's that motorcycle I need to?
Wow.
And I guess when I'm not making music, I like to weld a lot because I've never been a very good artist other than music. I can't even draw a stick figure to save my life, so it's nice to have that, you know, physical element of artistic output, which I never had before, and it's a lot of fun. Awesome. Sometimes I'm like, I can't believe you let me do this. It's like molten steel everywhere, and I'm like, yep, I'm not a professional, but this is fun. Haven't gotten hurt yet, so that's good.
that is good. One thing that I did notice about this as we were talking was you've got a piece of tape that says one of the outer circles covering up your taskbar at the bottom of your computer.
Yeah, it's
like
a computer monitor.
Is there some symbolism behind that?
Not really. Okay.
It's a good spot to put the...
Yeah. I don't want to superimpose any text on the image, and so I thought... Like, let's see if I can throw the album name in the picture somehow, where like someone might not notice it in the first take.
Yeah. You're the first person to notice that. It's a good work.
Just wrote it on some tape that I had and put it down there. But yeah,
nice. Yeah, it looks good.
I thought that album cover was very fitting too, because when you did the first rough mixes after recording, we all went over to Pat's house and listened to them for the first time, like in that room from that computer. And that was the only time I've been over there. I don't know about you, but it was kind of nice. It's like that encapsulates that time and place for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, it's a lot of stuff that like these are like a lot of like interior decorations that I look at like every day. So this is kind of like a little time capsule for me in a way. And the candelabra at the back, my sister made that. That's like a ceramic piece. So I always thought that was just really, really cool. So I'm glad to be able to include it as well.
Very neat. When you're playing live, do you have a favorite song to play live?
Yeah, we do. I'd say With Whom Do You Visit Shopping Malls has kind of become like our signature piece. In a way, and it's kind of wild to have that, like, you know, be like really well known within our set, because it's just like an 8 to 10 minute instrumental. It's like it's a big jam, basically.
Yeah, it's really where we get to kind of like, you know, stretch our wings a little bit and improv. And I always love talking to people after who aren't musicians and who maybe don't know what a time signature is, try to describe why they like it. Because it just like switches so back and forth between time signatures and tempos, and it's just funny like breaking it down for them. Like, oh yeah, well that's 5 and that's 6. Like, oh, I never counted that out before. Now I know what I'm feeling. Like, yeah, you're used to 4, and it's just like layers. And I don't know. I have been a huge jam band person since I was like 14. So the fact that I'm in a band where I can improvise now is very satisfying for me.
For sure.
I wanted it to be like, you know, a little bit different every time. And we've had the good fortune of having a lot of our sets recorded, actually, lately. Like, there's a full set that we did that's on YouTube right now under, I think, Osprey Corp.
Yeah.
They from recorded
the last Cuckfest.
Yeah, sound recorded by Goodway Studios. Shout out to Goodway. If you're looking for live sound in the Boston area, reach out to Goodway Studios.
And if you want to find out more about them, they will be on my show in 2 weeks to chat about that.
Yeah, I saw Mo on the street on the way over here.
Mo?
We shouted him down.
We need Mo Goodway.
He's very flustered on his bike. But yeah, shout out to Goodway, shout out to Cuck. Yeah, and so anyway, having these different, some of the different like recorded versions, like I would love for people to be able to like argue years from now and be like, no, like my favorite recording of Shopping Malls
this
was like, you're like this one, like, like people do for like The Dead or something.
And also, even when we were recording it, I don't even know how many takes we did over like 2 days. And it was one of those things where we were all just like so done with it. And it was so hot in the space because we recorded it in like July. And obviously no air conditioning because it's an Alston practice space. And we're like, all right, one more time, and then we're going to wrap it up. And that's the one we ended up using. So it's just like little droplets of goodness like that that are sprinkled throughout the Infinite Wet lore.
I think we had like 2 takes before where we had to stop in like the middle of the song. We were like 4 or 5 minutes in and just had to like, and then like something happened and we had to be like, ah.
It's like, not only do you have to play the song right, you have to play it right for 9-10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't stop.
And once you're done, it has to sound right. You have to capture whatever the organic piece is there that you can't really replicate or practice because so much of it is just made up on the spot.
Yeah. It was really, yeah, I don't know. It freaks me out to this day that like I played that song.
it's a good one.
All right, we're coming up on the top of the hour, so one thing that we need to do every hour is read a PSA. Would you guys like to read one about numbers to think about, American causes of death?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Mac. I'm gonna read the first line, and then we can take a bullet each and go around in a circle. In 2021, the last year for which comprehensive figures are available.
69 people in the United States were struck by lightning, and 11 of them died.
Ooh, electric.
Shocking.
Shut up, Steve.
Unbelievable. The last one was Max.
Unbelievable.
Shout out to my friend, Steph.
In other
struck
news,
by lightning.
Motor vehicle crashes caused 42,915 deaths.
Those are rookie numbers. Oh, dark. 47,646 Americans committed suicide.
Wow.
That's too many.
Gun violence killed 48,830 people.
Yikes. Diabetes was listed as the direct cause of 103,294 death certificates.
Is this a public service message?
Yeah.
More than 106,000 people died from drug overdoses, with more than 70,000 of those from synthetic opioids, primarily fentanyl.
Lame. Fentanyl's pretty lame. Approximately 460,000 deaths were associated with COVID-19. Fun.
Wow. And 0 people died from overdosing on marijuana. Those were some numbers to think about. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Keeping it light.
Woo! On that, do you guys have any final words of wisdom to leave us with?
I don't know. Just a big shout out to everyone in the local music scene who has been keeping things alive. Don't ever talk to the Boston Globe. If you think you're doing someone a favor by telling the Boston Globe about a venue, you're not doing them a favor. Love and light for everyone out there. I hope it's going to be a good year ahead and that we're able to turn some things around and play a lot of good music.
Beautiful. This has been the Infinite Wet Secret, and stick around because at 10:30 they will be playing On the Town with Mikey D right here in WMFO Studio D. I'm Mellow Max. My show is highly recommended. Thank you all for listening. We're going to wrap things up tonight with one song that I think really captures a nice piece of your sound. And you released it, I think, on the 4th of July, maybe the day before, as a single. America the Beautiful, really cool, kind of prog rocky song to finish off the hour. Thank you guys again, and I'm looking forward to hearing you play in an hour and a half.
Awesome. Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
this?